Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Reverend Mike Knight, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina. Today he'll bring the second message in a special four-part soul-winning series. The title of today's message is Direct Conversations to the Gospel. The text is from John chapter 4, verses 7 through 26.
All right, I'll ask you if you will open your Bibles again to John chapter 4. While you're doing that, the ushers are coming down front to give you a little bookmark that I would like to leave you with today. And we'll be looking at that bookmark a little bit later in the service. And so if you would just take that and tuck that into your Bible there at John chapter 4. We'll have time to go through that a little bit later in the message. First of all, let me say, as you get settled here, thank you again to Dr. Jones for the opportunity he's given me to come here this week. And as I mentioned to you yesterday, he asked me to come and to spend 4 days trying to impart soul-winning zeal and some know-how to the student body and the faculty and staff here at this great university. And, of course, I consider it a wonderful privilege to be here. I want to thank you for your attentiveness yesterday. I understand the pressures that you're facing right now, and you're busy, and yet I appreciate so much your attentiveness. And you're an easy group to preach to, partly because there are so many of you. And now that I'm 40, I can't see well enough to tell whether you're sleeping or not. And so, to me, it looks great. Yesterday, we learned the first key to becoming an effective soul winner. And I shared with you that what I wanted to do was come in here and just to be as practical as I could be to share with you 4 things. And to be honest with you, as I prayed about what to share in the 4 messages, it was difficult for me to narrow it down to these 4 things. And what I am sharing with you are practical things that the Lord has taught me since I was a freshman here at Bob Jones University. The last 18 to 20 years, things that He has practically taught me as I've gone out visiting and as I've witnessed for the Lord. Yesterday, we looked at the first key to becoming an effective soul winner for the Lord. And we said that in order for you to be an effective soul winner, first of all, you have to start witnessing right now. And the reason you should start witnessing now, you shouldn't wait till you graduate from this school. You shouldn't wait till you complete your doctorate degree, or you shouldn't wait till you complete your master's degree. You should not wait any longer. And the reason is because God commands you to witness now. And for you to delay is to disobey. We said, secondly, the reason that you should start witnessing now is because there are people out there who are ready to be saved right now. The fields are white to harvest. And thirdly, we said, very practically, the reason that you should start witnessing now is because the only way that you will ever learn how to witness is to witness. Does that make sense? You guys with me on that? You can't learn how to do anything until you start doing it. Do you understand and do you realize that 95% of all Christians have never won a soul to Christ? Did you hear that? 95% of all Christians have never won a soul to Christ. 80% of all Christians do not consistently witness for Christ. 80%. Less than 2% are involved in the ministry of evangelism. And because of that, 71% do not give towards the financing of the Great Commission. It makes sense that if 80% of the Christians out there are not involved in witnessing, that only 71% would actually give so that other people could go out and witness. One particular denomination did a survey on its leadership ministries, and the results were as follows. 63% of this denomination's leadership, including deacons and pastors, had not led one person to Christ in the last 2 years. 63% of the leadership, including the pastors and the deacons, had not led one soul to Christ in the past 2 years. 49% of the leadership of this particular denomination spent zero time in an average week ministering outside of their church. Almost 50%. 89% of the leadership of this denomination had zero time reserved in their list of weekly priorities for going out evangelizing. Yet 99% of the leadership believed that every Christian, including leadership, has been commanded to preach the gospel to the lost world. 96% of the leaders in this denomination believed that their churches would have grown faster if they would have been out and more involved in evangelism. And I read these statistics to you and I say that they are shocking statistics. Absolutely amazing. And what does it reveal? Well, I'll tell you what it reveals. If 80% of Christians are not consistently witnessing for Christ, then what that reveals is this. 80% of Christians are living disobediently. Are you with me? That is a very, very serious problem. Now, I hope if we poll the student body and the faculty and staff here at Bob Jones University, that the statistics would not show that only 20% of this crowd is out consistently witnessing. And that's why we say, in order for you to be an effective witness, in order for you to be an effective soul winner for Christ, you must start witnessing now. Well, I want to share with you a second key today about being an effective soul winner for Christ. I ask you to open your Bibles again to John chapter 4. We looked at one verse briefly yesterday as it relates to this passage of Scripture. And again, you're familiar with this story. As Christ is witnessing and revealing Himself to the woman of Samaria. I want us to read this story. I'll ask you to begin at looking at verse 7 and you follow along as I read. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For His disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto Him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of Him, and He would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto Him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank therein himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast said, well, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, and that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when we shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto Him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When He has come, He will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak to thee am He. Now, this is an amazing passage of Scripture as you read about Christ in His conversation with the Samaritan woman. There are a lot of things that we could say that we don't have time to say about this particular text. There's a lot of teaching that we could give to you about this particular text. But what I want to draw your attention to in this passage of Scripture is I want to draw your attention to the way that Christ starts up a conversation with this woman of Samaria, and then very skillfully and very quickly He moves the conversation from physical water to spiritual water, to living water, to everlasting life. He's very skillful in what He's doing. And as He does that, the lady obviously says, listen, if you can give me water where I won't have to travel back to this well again, then I want that water. And she's missing the point. And Christ then very skillfully says, well, go call your husbands and come hither. And He confronts her with her sinfulness. And she says to Him, I don't have a husband. And He replies and says, you've said well, you don't have a husband. Matter of fact, you've had five husbands, and the person that you're living with now, you're living in adultery with. Now at this point, you can imagine this lady must have been taken back. She perceives in this man that there was something supernatural. There was something unusual about this man. And so she comes to the conclusion in her own mind that this must be a prophet. And so what's interesting is she begins to change the conversation. If she's talking to a prophet, then she brings up a known dispute in that day between the Jews and the Samaritans. And that is, where was the proper place of worship? The Samaritans believed that the proper place of worship was Mount Gerizim. The Jews believed it was Jerusalem. And so she asked Christ, if you're a prophet, then answer this question. And Christ quickly tells the lady that very soon, because He was the Messiah and He was getting ready to die on the cross and He was going to resurrect Himself, He says, very soon, ma'am, the place of worship will be totally irrelevant. And people who really follow Me will learn to worship Me in spirit and in truth. And Christ makes some of the most amazing statements about what worship is in the Bible right here in this text. And the lady knew that the Messiah was coming, and she says, well, when the Messiah has come, then I guess He'll answer all these questions, and we'll know then. And then Christ makes a stunning revelation to this lady, and He looks at this lady. Can you imagine? He says, ma'am, do you realize that the person that you're talking to is He? If we had time, I could take you to a number of other passages in the Scripture where people were used of God, not only Christ, but Paul and others were used of God. And what they learned to do in their witness is they would strike up a conversation with someone, but very quickly what they would do is they learned to steer that conversation from the general and from the physical things to the spiritual things. And that is exactly what Christ is doing here. Of course, He was the Master. And that brings me to the second key to being an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ that I want to share with you this morning and try to help you with. In order for you to be an effective soul winner for Christ, not only do you have to start witnessing now, but secondly, what you have to learn to do is you have to learn to direct your conversations with people to the gospel. And I will submit to you and I will confess to you that this is one of the most difficult things for you to learn. And this is the reason why so many Christians who have a heart to witness for the Lord never become effective in their witness, because they never learn how to take a conversation with someone and to very quickly and very simply to direct that conversation to be able to talk about their soul. Think with me. Isn't that awkward to do? I mean, how do you go home for the summer and visit with one of your unsaved relatives? Let's just say it's your unsaved grandfather that you've been praying for and trying to witness. I mean, how do you direct a conversation with your grandfather from everyday conversation to the gospel. It's one of the most difficult things that we have to learn to do. I want to give you a couple hints, and then I want to give to you today and leave with you some practical tips on how to do this. You have to understand that God does not want you to talk to everybody. Now, don't use that as an excuse. And so one of the things that I have learned as I go out on visitation is I used to get so discouraged because I would go and I would go out on visitation and I would have horrible visits. Well, keep this in mind. In order for you to get to the yeses, you have to get the no's out of the way. Did you hear that? In order for you to get to the yeses, the people that God does want you to talk to and to share the gospel with, then what you have to do oftentimes is you have to go through a lot of no's, a lot of closed doors. And let me tell you what's happened. I've seen this over and over again in the churches that I've been in as an outreach pastor and directing the evangelism training and being in charge of visitation. People get challenged about going out witnessing and they last about 2 or 3 weeks. And then they quit. You know why? Because they don't understand that in order for you to get to a lot of times, the Lord tests your faithfulness. And now when someone's like that, I say to them, don't be surprised when we go out tonight if every single door is slammed in our face. You know what? Rarely does that happen, though. You know why? Because God doesn't expect you to talk to everyone. So what you have to learn to do as a soul winner is you have to live with eternity's values in view. And you have to live asking God to direct you to what I would refer to as divine appointments. The person that God wants you to talk to. The seed that needs to be planted in that person's heart. Whether they get saved or not, that person that God wants to use you to evangelize and to witness to. I've asked the ushers in the school if they would pass out to you a little slip of paper, a bookmark, and I appreciate those that have worked on that to make it small so that you can slip it in your Bible. And I just want to give you today, in the remainder of our time, something that God has used in my life, and I want to share with you this, that for over 10 years now, as an outreach pastor and as an associate pastor, and now as a church planter, I've taken hundreds of people through an evangelism training program. And I want you to know that personally, I'm not standing up here and sharing with you something that I've just read in a book or something that I've just come up with that looks great on paper. I want you to know that what I'm giving you is part of my life. It's something that I personally have implemented and practiced now for over 10 years. And I thought, how in the world can I help these students? And the way that I can help these students is to just share with you a little bit that this simple preacher knows about witnessing to people. And it's these 7 directional questions. Some of you read before. I've adapted them kind of to my personality, if you will, over the years as I've learned some different questions and I've kind of compiled them into the 7 questions that you have in front of you. And I want to leave you with this today. And what I want to do, if you will allow me, I know this is a little unusual for chapel. If we had more time, I would do it a different way, but we don't. If you will allow me, what I would like to do is I would like to do a role play for you. And I want to show you how these 7 questions can help you do one of the most difficult things that you will ever learn to do, and that is to direct a person's conversations that you have with people to the gospel. You pretend with me, and I am not a schizophrenic, okay? I do not have a split personality, I don't think, okay? But you play along with me, and I am going to role play 2 people today, and I want to kind of walk you through. We could use any scenario. If I were to pick a person out of the audience and have you come up here today and pretend that you were somebody, then I could role play this just the same. Let's just pretend. Will you pretend with me a little bit? Isn't that fun? Let's just pretend that you had the opportunity to go out on visitation with me today. Are you there? You say, well, you would be very content to be that silent partner, right? Well, let's just pretend that I had the opportunity. And by the way, I would love to have the opportunity to take every single one of you out on visitation, because the things that I'm sharing with you this week would be exactly the things that you would observe. And so let's just say, for the sake of illustration, that we are out and we're just visiting people. Maybe we're following up on some people that have visited our new church plant this Sunday. And we decide that we're just going to knock on a few other doors. And so you follow along with me, and then I'm going to show you how these questions work. Just going up to a house and just knocking on the door. How you do, sir? My name is Mike, and this is Joe, and we're from Community Baptist Church. And we're just in the area visiting people and inviting them to come to our church. And I just wanted to stop by your house, and I wanted to ask you, do you and your family attend church anywhere? Well, we attend church. Well, where do you attend? Well, we attend this church down at in Fuquay, and it's a non-denominational church. Okay. Well, listen, sir, we would love to have you come to our church. Our church just started 2 years ago, and it's right down the street here. Let me ask you this. Do you know where Cleveland Middle School is? Oh, yeah, I know where Cleveland Middle School is. Well, we meet there every Sunday at 10 o'clock. And again, we're a new church, and we run about 130, 140 people on Sundays. And we'd love to have you and your family come visit us sometime. So let me leave this with you. It's a pamphlet about our church, and tells you a little bit more about us. And again, I invite you to come out. Okay. Well, sir, let me ask you this. You said you attend a non-denominational church. Then who's your pastor there? What's that guy? Honey, what's that preacher's name? I love it when that happens, by the way. I say, well, as you attend this denominational church, then let me ask you this, sir. This is the first question. What is your religious background? Well, it's a non-denominational church, but what's your religious background? Well, I actually grew up Methodist, he says, and my wife, you know, she grew up Baptist, and again, we've decided to go to that particular church. And I said, okay, well, let me ask you this. By the way, what's your name, sir? John? Okay. John, my name is Mike, and nice to meet you. Let me ask you this, John. Question number two. As a Methodist, then let me ask, do you believe in heaven and hell? Well, I guess so. I mean, I definitely believe in heaven. I'm not so sure about hell. Sometimes it's hard for me to think that, you know, God would condemn everybody to hell. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask this, John. If something were to happen to you today and you were to die today or maybe 5 years from now, then let me ask you this. Where do you think you go? You think you go to heaven or you think you go to hell? Well, I believe I'd go to heaven, he says. All right. Well, let me ask you this. John, what are you depending on today in order to get you to heaven? Well, what am I depending on? What do you mean by that? Well, let me ask it to you this way. If you were to die and you were to stand before the Lord and He were to say to you, why should I let you into heaven? If He were to ask you that question, then what would you say to Him, John? What are you depending on in order to get to heaven? Well, I mean, I try to do the best that I can do. And, you know, I try to be a decent husband and a father. And well, anything else, John? Well, yeah, I did get baptized when I was younger. Well, anything else? You know, I'm not as perfect. I've done a lot of things wrong. But, you know, I think as long as you try to do the best you can and live right, that, you know, that's what I would say to him. Well, you know, John, the Bible does say in 1 John 5 and verse 13, and this is an exciting verse because the Bible says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And so there is a way, sir, that you can know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. But listen, John, let me ask you this. This is a sobering question. It's a thought-provoking question, but I want to ask it to you. If what you just said to me, John, right now, about doing the best you can and, you know, being the right type of father and the right type of husband and being baptized when you were younger. If what you just said to me right now, John, is not the way to heaven according to the Bible, would you want me to tell you? Now, please hear me. I'm telling you the truth. I have been using these questions consistently on visitation as I've taught an evangelism training course and as I go out and follow up even on people that visit our church on Sunday. I have been using these questions now for over 10 years. And I'm telling you the truth. I can count on one hand how many times I have gone through these questions as I've steered the conversation to things that are spiritual. I can count on one hand the times that people have looked at me when I've asked that last question and said no. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking everything, the things that the people that take my class always think. That's this. There's no way people will let you share the gospel with them. And can I just simply say this? I dare you to try it. Matter of fact, if I will, I'm not going to just dare you to try it. I'm going to double dog dare you to try it because you can't resist a double dog dare. Let me tell you what will happen. If you go out from this university this summer, and if you're going to commit to one thing this summer, I have no idea what you're going to be involved in. And in just a few weeks, you know what? This student body is going to be scattered all over the globe. And I submit to you that there is absolutely no telling what God would do with the student body this summer, Dr. Jones, if they would commit to go home this summer and just go out on visitation once a week and try these questions. And when someone looks at you and said, okay, go ahead, if you just know the Romans Road. Matter of fact, if you don't even know the Romans Road, you're still equipped to witness. Because all you have to do if you're a Christian is tell people your story. Sir, I've only been at Bible college for 1 year now, and I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I do want to tell you how Jesus Christ saved me, and you use your personal testimony. By the way, your personal testimony is one of the most powerful tools you will ever use in witnessing. Shame on you. Shame on you if you have harbored your personal salvation testimony. You ought to be out all the time sharing with people the greatest day in your life, the day that you trusted your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And shame on you if you harbor that day, if you hold back from sharing that day. I want to give you a couple of practical instructions about these specific questions. You say, why are questions like this, directional questions, so important? Let me give you a couple of things before we close. Number one, because this allows you very quickly to find out whether a person's saved or not. When I first started witnessing, in my zeal, I lost a lot of opportunities. You know why? Because I would give a lot of answers away. And as you can tell, as a preacher, I like to talk. And I get myself in trouble a lot because I talk too much. And the same is true when I would go out witnessing. But what these questions do is it forces you to be a listener. And so you find out very quickly in about 2 minutes, about 99% of the time you'll find out whether a person's saved or not. When you ask them this question, what are you depending on in order to get to heaven? If they say anything other than Jesus Christ, or when you say anything else, if they add anything else to Jesus Christ, do you understand that red flags ought to be going up everywhere? Most of the time that indicates that they don't understand true salvation. And so in a matter of just a couple of minutes, you'll find out whether they're truly saved or not. Don't go up to someone and ask them, are you a Christian? Down south, if you ask a person if he's a Christian, what are they going to say? Yes. Don't ask them, are you saved? But the average church member, the average deacon, and a lot of times, sad to say, pastors, they visit people that visit their church. They go in to visit them, and they say, are you a Christian? They say, well, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, praise the Lord, brother. And they shake their hand, they sit down, they start talking about all the programs of the church. I can't tell you how many times I've sent people to visit someone in our church, and they came back and said, how did the visit go? Are they saved? And they said, oh, yeah, they're saved. They're Christians. We had a great visit. And I'd go back several weeks later and I would ask these questions and I would find out that the people had no clue about how to get to heaven. Something else that it teaches you is this. Please listen to this. It keeps you from assuming that people are saved. When you approach people with the gospel, don't assume that they're Christians. Don't assume that they're saved so that that gets you off the hook from having to talk to them. But when you approach people, approach them assuming that they're lost. That will help you tremendously in your witness for Christ. These questions are so very important. One of the reasons, too, is because have you ever shared the gospel and you've gone through the gospel and when you're done going through the gospel, the person you're talking to said, oh yeah, I've done that or I believe that. Well, when you don't give them any answers away and you let them talk and reveal what they really believe, as you confront them with the gospel, as you go through a thorough presentation of the gospel and they say to you, oh yeah, that's exactly what I believe, I've done that. Then you can say, well, John, I'm not saying that you haven't, but I am concerned about you. And the reason that I'm concerned about you is because just a few minutes ago, when I asked you what you were depending on in order to get to heaven, you didn't say Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that you're not depending upon Christ, but you said this, 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 and this. And I have to admit, I'm concerned about you. Are you truly saved? What I want you to do, this is your homework with all the other homework that you've had. I want you to take these questions and tonight in your prayer group, as a prayer captain and an assistant prayer captain, then what I want you to do tonight for your prayer meeting is I want you to practice these questions. I want you to practice role-playing these questions to one another. And then I want to ask you to take these questions and to use them throughout the summer.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Mike Knight, pastor of Community Baptist Church in Clayton, North Carolina. For a cassette tape or compact disc containing yesterday's and today's messages on soul winning, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.